really good.
I'm digging it. So what'd you put
on
this?
How did you put it?
And welcome to the Klatch. Direct from Vashon Island, Washington.
Live.
I'm your host, Linda Nygaard, and I'm here in the Jean Bosch Studio, downtown Vashon, with my co-host, Susan McCabe.
Hi, hello. Susan.
And Heidi Skrypek.
Hello there.
Hi,
happy
Heidi.
To be back.
How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
So, you know, gosh, it's been a long time. And I, for our listeners, you know, this is the place where we come to talk about what we want to talk about. We have a few stories to tell. We have a few, maybe they're sad, maybe they're funny. We don't know. But we get to say what we want to say. And we also hope that you'll pull up a chair and get a cuppa and sit and visit with us. We've been out of the studio for the summer. We took a hiatus. It's been a good summer. It's been a hot summer.
It's not over yet.
And it's not over yet. So I know that a lot of you don't know who we are, really. You know our names, maybe. Or you know the show, maybe, hopefully. But I thought it would be really fun to get to know each of us a little bit. So every show from here on out, we're going to ask a question. Same question for all of us. And then you can get to know people a little better, too. And I don't know the answer to these questions. So, Heidi.
Yes, friend.
What was your first job?
My very first job, I was 16 years old, and I worked as a home health attendant for a person who had terminal cancer. And it was a family friend.
Wow.
And I had to prepare all of these shakes done to specification, along with some drip sort of liquid supplements. And I'm trying to remember the name of this method for cancer treatment, but it was this sort of holistic treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory was that you could really get your organs humming along and get enough immunity to beat the cancer. So it was like the Gersh method or something. So that's what I did.
First, a caretaker.
Wow.
Oh, that's a big job.
I just stayed in the kitchen most of the time. Mm-hmm. And there was the family members that would run the food in. So I never once saw the patient. I just followed the formulas that I was taught to prepare with these shakes. And I saved up money, and I wanted to go take a train trip and
You've always been saving up money to go somewhere.
Thank you. You're totally right. You know, that's so funny. I hadn't even considered that, but I was doing it since 10th grade.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, Linda.
Yeah.
It's a way to hold the mirror up in front of my
Really?
Face. Yeah. So it was really interesting. Yeah. There was a dog that lived at the residence named Latimer. And Latimer was like a bull terrier. Do you know those dogs?
Yeah.
Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah.
Every time I walked into the pantry, the dog would lunge at my leg and clamp in.
Oh, no.
And he would not let go with those jaws. And I had bruises on my calves every time I would come home. I would do this a couple times a week, and I would just, my legs were just torn up because of this dog. And they're like,
awful.
Oh, he's not, he doesn't mean anything. And I'm like, get him off of me.
Well, yeah, but it hurts.
Really?
Yeah.
Dogs, man. So ever
you were
since,
his chew toy?
I was his two leg. I was his little chicken drumstick.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
You were a tiny little thing.
I was some twiggy pipe cleaner legs. It was the worst thing ever. Anyway, thanks for letting me relive that trauma. Money was good.
Susan.
Well, the good news is Latimer's probably dead.
Latimer's definitely dead.
No more
offspring. Yeah. What about you, Susan?
My first job was 16. I was a soda jerk at a Dairy Queen, and I gained 20 pounds eating my mistakes that summer until I got fired because I was, you know, those milkshake things. You know,
I
pegs.
That was my second job.
Those. And they were paper cups, right? Yes. So I actually wiped out a family of four when I stuck the peg through the bottom of the paper cup and the chocolate milkshake swirled throughout the room and wiped out a family of four.
They make a mess.
Yeah, they do make a mess.
Yeah, they do make a mess.
I didn't stay long enough to clean it up.
Oh, my goodness.
On the spot type.
It was, you're out, babe.
You were done.
Yeah.
That's it.
So,
darn. You're so humiliated. You're so torn up.
And you're 16.
Oh, yeah, but I lost those 20 pounds pretty fast.
I bet you did, getting away from all that stuff.
Yes, right. Wow. That was my first job.
Linda, what was yours?
Oh, my God. You know, when I was in high school, I wanted to work at the drive-in with the hamburgers and the milkshakes and do that kind of thing. But my dad would never let me because those girls wore shorts.
Oh, my.
And in public.
Well, and there were a lot of kind of bad boys that hung out there, which is really kind of, they weren't really bad boys, but they were so cute.
Exactly.
There, you know, but they said no. And I, and one day I was 17 with my first job. I was sleeping in. It was a sultry summer morning. And my mom opened my door really fast. And she said, "Get up, Linda. You have a job."
Ooh.
And I said, "What? A job?
Like, what am I going to do? What is this?
I have to get an apartment, too."
So she took me into town and introduced me to, I won't say her name,
okay.
A woman who owned a motel.
Oh.
And I became the motel maid.
Oh.
It was the worst job you can ever imagine. And this woman was, she was going through menopause at the time. Mm-hmm. And she was crabby and beyond, and she couldn't get out of bed sometimes, but she always had time to come and check my work. And she made me clean with a toothbrush the underside of the toilet tank. No kidding. I mean,
whoa.
And so this motel, you know, I was raised in a kind of, you know, country western town, and there in the summertime there was always a huge rodeo, one of the biggest rodeos in the country.
Wow.
And so the cowboys stayed in this motel. So you can imagine the mess and the cleanup of beer cans and cigarette butts and vomit. And I mean, because all they do is drink and ride,
puke,
you know.
Yeah.
Drink and puke and pee.
Drink and puke, right? So hey, let's get drunk and puke.
Well, I think that used to be a lifestyle to some people. But anyway, I've never, you know, I've never really forgotten how to clean a bathroom, but I do not use a toothbrush on my toilet tank.
Underside?
On the underside.
Who's even in the toilet tank? And it's not, is it a dirty
no,
place?
No, not the inside, but under it. You
but
know.
You're talking about the lid?
No, I'm talking about the underneath, you know,
oh,
the seat.
Oh, the bowl.
Underneath the...
Like the base?
No, you know, the
Help
tank.
Me.
And underneath the tank. The tank.
Oh, under the base of the tank.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
With
oh.
a toothbrush.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it coarse underneath
yeah,
there?
Yeah, it's
it
like
still...
concrete kind okay. of, or, you know, it's rough.
Fascinating. I had no idea.
Yeah, so that
That's
was my first
a little
job.
Obsessive, I'd say.
Well, yeah, but I think she had a power thing going on, too.
She white gloves underneath the tank.
Jeez.
Yeah, so that was that. And
oh, man.
Oh, holy cow. So, you know, let's get back to summer.
Okay. Sounds good.
Now that I had to think about that. Susan, how was your summer? What happened this summer?
My summer was really busy, so I almost missed it. I'm kind of having my summer now.
That's funny.
So I don't want to consider this the end of summer, but
true.
It was the busyness that I have was in large part due to the Vashon Repertory Theater Fest,
mm-hmm.
which was really, really great. We had a live show at the open space of Pete Seeger, a one-man show of Pete Seeger. We did Much Ado About Nothing of Shakespeare in open spaces Meadow. We had a brand new musical called Somewhere Between that we staged. It was a concert reading, they called it, at Vashon Center for the Arts. Beautiful music written by a Vashon Islander. And we, the open space folks or the UMO folks produced something called 5-Minute Wonders, which was physical acts that they just curated. And a lot of it was clowning, which was a lot of fun. And then we had readings of new plays at Snapdragon.
Oh, nice.
Which were wonderful. A lot of it got trashed by COVID, however.
Darn it. Did? You mean attendance? Or
not just attendance, our actors.
Talent.
Talent were getting COVID. And so at Much Ado, there were a couple of performances where the stand-ins were doing their lines with with a book in front of them so they could read what their lines were. And some of the readings had to be canceled.
Mm.
A couple performances of 5-Minute Wonders had to be canceled. So COVID kind of did a number on us.
I think it did in a lot of ways this summer to a lot of things. And
people. A lot of the organizations on the island that were doing performances and entertainment had the same issue, and they had low attendance. Not only were people scared of COVID, there was all kind of competition off the island.
Yeah, there was a lot going on this summer.
And our ferry system is not kind to us.
No.
No.
Tahlequah is out of service again today.
Is it again today?
For the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. I can't keep up.
You know what I learned about that is it's not the ferry workers who escort us and direct us into our cars that are causing the problem, the shortage. It's the highly trained technical staff, the engineers who work below deck.
Sure.
They take their training processes is long. The boomers are retiring, and there are not new people coming in because the state used to pay for their training, and they don't anymore.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. How can they not pay for training for that?
Well, I think it's time for Vashonians to start making a lot of noise with the Washington State Department
it's
of
bad.
Transportation.
I mean, one or the other of the ferries is always out of service. That's about what you
Yeah, it's pretty much what
I waited
you can
2 hours the other day.
Out of Fauntleroy?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Mm-hmm.
No, like, on the Vashon side.
Oh,
and on the Fauntleroy side, it was 90 minutes coming home. So,
that's
one of the
4.5 hours of your day.
It is just sitting there. I've started to just try to plan things.
Me too.
That involve going foot over to Fauntleroy and then Ubering.
Mm.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
I'm over it. It's like, what's your time worth? Worth a lot.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to take a car anywhere anymore. But on the south end, when the boat is fakakta, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
May I steal that word, please?
Fakakta. Yes, you may.
How do you spell that? I'll just use my imagination.
Yeah, right.
That's so funny because I saw the cancellation that happened earlier this week. And on Saturday, I was part of a group that retested a swimming course from Tahlequah across to Point Defiance. So there were only 11 of us and a bunch of kayakers.
Wow.
We were flanked by like 8 kayakers, which is pretty good support. And we set off and we were instructed because of there was some sailing regatta that bumped up our time. And it ended up that we were swimming right as the tide was flooding in.
Ooh.
Which is bad because Dalco Passage has a fierce velocity.
That's a big current.
We had to angle at 45 degrees the entire time. They said swim toward Anthony's, which is like a total diagonal to the left.
Yeah,
I was like, you're joking. That's baloney. We did, and we had to. And even though you were pointed this way, you were still drifting out toward Gig Harbor, and it was terrifying. I almost said an F word there.
Oh my God, I can imagine.
But I made it. But four of us didn't, or at least four. I think four or five
didn't
of
make
us.
It?
We had to get, they had to get pulled onto kayaks and paddled off because it was just.
I bet it was tempting to do that. You know, would have been for me.
It's good to
but
know.
But it's nice to know there are options to the ferry.
Exactly. That's where I was going with that.
Right.
Can always swim.
Yeah, you can swim.
You can always swim.
Just plan it according to the tide.
Well.
So, yeah. Summer. Good old summer.
Since you asked, I'll tell you about my summer.
I would like to know. I would like to know.
You know, it was a Vashon summer. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do much, really, that was out of the ordinary, except that I just really enjoyed the hell out of myself in a very quiet way. I've started walking again.
Good.
And walking is a meditation to me, you know, so it can become a stroll. Many times it does when you're looking around, seeing things and noticing things. So that's been really fun. And my goal is through this next 2 months to explore places I haven't been on the island. Cause there's a lot of nooks and crannies on this island where you can watch or walk. I mean, and I haven't been on many of them. But I want to stress that my walking is more strolling and more meditative kind of enjoyment rather than a marathon, you know, because I hate the word exercise. And even when the word is in front of me, I go instantly back to eighth grade gym class when I had to run laps because I cheated at jumping jacks.
You cheated.
I did. I just stood on the floor with my feet still and waved my arms up way in the back, you know. So I hated jumping. I hated it all. So exercise is not a good thing for me, but walking and fast walking is a good thing to do. And I also started reading a book a couple weeks ago. I'm not done with it yet, but a little bit at a time. And I want to tell you guys about it. It's called Being Dead is No Excuse.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
I thought you rigged that on purpose.
Really? I didn't.
As a call from the great beyond.
Yeah, really. The dead. This is the Lord.
This is the Lord. Yeah. What were we talking about?
You were talking about the dead.
Being dead is not an excuse.
Oh, the book.
So then the phone rang.
Yeah. It made me forget. Anyway, this book, I didn't bring it with me, but it is just fabulous. It's about Southern women and funerals and food.
Oh, cool.
And what their traditions are and how they're competitive with each other and their funeral potatoes and that kind of stuff.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
It has a lot of recipes. Potatoes. It's all from the Deep South. They talk about being from the Delta.
I'm getting and hungry.
It's really entertaining, light entertaining, very well written. Being dead is no excuse. So I've been reading a lot, and you know that I house sit, pet sit for people mm-hmm. when they're gone.
World famous.
Had some really wonderful dog love this summer, for sure.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that
it was really fun. Refreshing. I enjoyed it. I worked really hard all summer, and I'm going to take the month of September off.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
No September sitting.
All so right. I'm happy about that.
So Heidi, did we hear about your summer? Which
no.
was pretty dramatic.
Yes, it was.
I swam. I toured. I got my passport stamped. Heathrow was a mess. So let's see. In mid-June, I went to Greece on a swim holiday with some friends. Mm-hmm. We swam in the Ionian Sea. We swam 25 kilometers total over the course of like 6 days. Yeah, mm-hmm. it was really good training. Hot. Water's super warm this year.
Is it?
Climate change is dragging.
Ooh, that's kind of scary.
Jellyfish. Mm-hmm. New jellyfish. Across that are normally in Italy came over.
Because it's warmer?
Stinging jellyfish?
Wow.
Mauve stingers is their name. Yeah, it was interesting. But the water is, of course, beautiful. And the food is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And people are great. So Greece and then onto Vienna. The minute I landed, I came down with a virus.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Three COVID tests. It said I didn't have COVID. So it was some horrible virus. Took weeks to get through. I still wonder.
Yeah.
Wonder.
If it wasn't COVID. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I took my test really early in quick succession. Mm. So I don't know.
Anyway. Well, you know, sometimes we read now that you should wait 5 days or you should, from the day you're sick, you should wait 5 days.
Yep. Because from the day you're exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really crazy. But as I was in Greece, I collected from all of my swim buddies some summer clothing items. So when I got to Vienna, I had two giant bags full of summer clothing for women and for children and just cast offs. These are parents. Mm-hmm. So with that, I marched across from the Hilton, like 300 yards was the Train of Hope charity, which is receiving refugees from Ukraine.
Oh.
And they did not speak English and I did not speak Ukrainian, but even the people working it were Russian speaking and Ukrainian speaking or some German. So I had to flex on my Duolingo German. Thank God. Austria, they do not want to speak English, even though they've probably learned it.
Yeah.
They want you to speak German. And so German it was. And taxi drivers in that, a lot of them are immigrants from places like Egypt and Israel and Iran, and they don't speak English. They speak German or Iranian or Egyptian, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Arabic. That's incredible.
So German it was. And
so did you find that in restaurants and hotels where people, you just didn't try English?
Just the Hilton, because it's an American hotel. Mm-hmm. That's where I stayed. Fabulous Vienna buffet. Wow. Oh my God. So great. Like German and everything.
Getting hungry.
But that hospitality industry, sort of finer hospitality, there was some English spoken, really good English spoken. Mm-hmm. But everywhere else on the street, you better speak German. So that was Austria. Took mom and brother, met me. We toured everywhere. It was super fun. Castles and jewels and rivers and lots of shopping
neat.
And food, amazing food, super fun. And then I went to Europe, to UK rather, to the island of Jersey, which is this little island. And we waited to do an English Channel swim for a two-way relay. It didn't happen. We did a one-way relay instead because of the heat.
Weren't you still sick?
And I was still a little bit sick.
Yeah.
But we had spent almost 11 days in Vienna and Munich and one stop in Salzburg. So I had some time to get better. And so by the time I got the UK, I was feeling like I could live again and swim. And my muscles were still trained from Greece, thank goodness. But we had a successful crossing 8 hours and 30 minutes
wow.
from Jersey to France. I had dolphins on my swim.
That's my dream.
It was goodness. And that was an accident. It wasn't a planned thing.
No.
Like you didn't know they were there.
It just happened. Man. And then one of the swimmers got a video of them swimming with me.
So, what body of water were you swimming in?
That's the English Channel also.
It is the English Channel. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a narrower portion of it?
You uh-huh. got it. Southern.
Well, you had quite a summer.
So that was, and I came home and did tons of weeding. Garden had overgrown.
Oh, sure.
And now it's just like that beautiful time when you're just picking fruits
it's
every
beautiful.
Day.
It's beautiful. Yes, yeah. I know.
So I have to say, Heidi Skrypek, you are remarkable. You had to have checked on this charity.
Oh, yes.
Before you yes. So you planned all this.
I did.
In advance, and you told your Greek swimming friends to bring extra clothing.
Yes.
So you had to organize that.
I did.
Along with your whole trip.
It was funny, and I was afraid, like, I was weighing my luggage, so afraid that I was going to get dinged, and I was willing to pay it. I'm like, fine. You know what? If it's mm-hmm. $50, $100, Austrian Airlines, they will charge you.
Yeah,
that's who they are.
Kind of tight-assed, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, man.
I guess you could say that.
Even boarding the flight and stuff, like, they would run you over if you didn't move quickly. And landing at that airport, I was so impressed. Like, that's the fastest I've ever gotten my luggage, the fastest I've ever left the airport. It's like, these people do not play. Like, get out of my way, or I will just walk all over you. So no offense to the Austrians, but they're kind of joyless, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's what travel is about, though. We learn about those other cultures and notice our distinctions.
I want to say one more thing about the refugee situation. It's getting worse because now a lot of these folks that are in Austria, they have to move out of their shelters because a lot of them are housed in college dorms. And guess what?
Oh, yeah.
College is starting again.
So there's
not really anywhere for them to go. So there's this great private campaign to privately house people, like, open your homes. Do you have room in your basement? Do you have a second house, a back house, anything? It's really bad. So Train of Hope Charity, if you happen to be going to Vienna, they need your donations.
Can we send money?
Yes, you certainly can.
And so they probably have a website.
Yes, okay. They do, Train of Hope.
Train of Hope.
And there's another program called Cards for Ukraine. And it is this woman, Tanya Meyer, and Mario Zechner. And together, they're just two nice people who are trying to help out privately. And they do $50 Hofer, it's the name of a store, gift cards, so that people, Lebensmittel, Gutscheine. And the Gutscheine sind their gifts for people, so they can just free ball it and they can just go buy their 50 euro worth of groceries, whatever they want to eat.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, wow. Because they come with nothing.
They come really? With nothing.
Right. They leave with the clothes on their back and that's about it.
Yeah. And there's people that are disabled or elderly or they need surgery. So it is a desperate situation. They're better off, honestly, going on to places like the UK. Just the social programs and the safety net is way more expedited, whereas in Austria there are just layers and layers of bureaucracy.
Really?
So one little chink in the armor, however they say that, ruins the whole ability for them to get food or shelter or whatever. It's just bad.
Well, Heidi, thank you for doing that.
You're
that
welcome.
I'm really that. Yeah,
it was good.
I'm proud of you too. That's really wonderful that you did that. Thank you.
And shout out to our notorious Alki swimmers and Vashon swimmers for contributing, because I also brought $600 worth of money that purchased cards. So
that's fantastic.
That's fabulous, honey.
So that was my summer. Boom.
Excellent. Boom. Yeah. Well, so speaking of summer,
yes.
How about Strawberry Festival? Were you here, Heidi? You weren't even here, were you?
I just got back.
Okay. Well, Strawberry Festival this year was smaller.
It was fun.
Did you like it? Yeah, I didn't get to go because I wasn't here, but the reports are that everybody had a really good time, and it was so nice to have it smaller and have it Vashon focused. I just heard all kinds of good things about it.
You know, awesome. It really showcased the personality of Vashon, which is what I think we have to sell beyond this island. The parade was delightful. It was funky. It was very much like the first one I saw when I came here nearly 30 years ago the first time. Funky, fun, loose, and very, just bursting with personality.
How fun.
Yeah.
Was there a samba troupe? I saw pictures and it looked like there was sort of a samba troupe or a dance troupe.
Well, you know, I was in the parade, so I didn't see everything. And there may well have been a dance troupe. There were certainly plenty of animals and there were cows, there were horses.
That's cool.
There were
tractors.
There were tractors. Yeah, there was a procession of the creatures, which was people dressed as butterflies and salmon, and it was just great.
Oh, how fun!
Yeah.
Well, and our new mayor, we have an unofficial mayor for those of you who don't know, but this year it's our favorite bulldog, whose name is Buddy.
Buddy the bulldog.
Buddy owns Tom Conway and lives with him.
That's accurate.
Yeah. And lives with him in his 100-year-old farmhouse. And, you know, Buddy is one of our favorite buddies. Really, he is. He's all over town. I was talking with Tom last week, and he said Buddy was so tired after Strawberry Festival because he had way too many butt pats. just came home and slept and slept and slept for days. But Buddy loved the Strawberry Festival, and then he started regaling me with stories about Buddy and peaches and Buddy and apples, and his favorite food is pancakes.
Or Buddies? Vanilla.
Yeah, Buddies.
He's
got a personality like when Tom gets ready to go to bed at night, Buddy carries something up the stairs every time, and it's either a Tom shoe or his bowl. And Tom says he's already in bed and he hears Buddy clanking his bowl up the stairs.
Oh, how cute is that?
Yeah. He's really a darling dog, and I think he's making a dynamite mayor for us.
Is he going to be presiding at community events?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's very social.
Doesn't he already? BIPP benefited from his mayordom, right?
Yes, Vashon Island VIP Protectors.
Yes, sure. Yes. They were sponsored by that. Also by VIP, who does wonderful work in the Vashon area with regard to animals and homes and feeding and taking care of people who have animals, too. Mm-hmm. Advice and
subsidized
that kind of thing.
Pet food.
Yeah, it's great.
And there's a Facebook group, isn't there?
Well, Buddy started a Facebook group called...
Oh, he did?
Yeah, it's Buddies. It's Buddies. And it's called Thank You Vashon.
Okay.
So you can go to Facebook/groups/ThankYouVashon. Mm-hmm. And Buddy's looking for stories of why you like it here and what you're grateful for.
What?
And, you know, some good little deed that somebody did for you or something like that. And it's a really happy page.
That's really cool.
That's the Buddy
page
news.
The other day. I didn't realize it was a... Buddy.
It was
It's Buddy.
Buddy incubated.
Yeah, it's a Buddy page.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, the bounty of summer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it time for us to take a break?
A little bit.
Why don't we do Let's do a station break.
We'll come back with the bounty of summer.
And we'll come bounty of summer later.
You got yourself a deal.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Minglement, Vashon Island's natural marketplace for the conscious consumer, where owners, staff, and customers alike embrace the importance of natural, organic, and non-GMO food and products, along with supplements, tinctures, gifts, bulk teas, spices, and herbs. Find them at Center, where the town of Vashon originated.
To Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
And we're back.
Hello, we're back. And we're going to talk about summer's bounty, especially the fruit. I think I've just been overcome with love of fruit this summer. And I'm kind of curious. So, Heidi, what's your favorite fruit?
Peaches. By far.
Well, we have such good peaches here. You know, there are some peaches from Eastern Oregon or Eastern Washington called Pence.
Yes.
Do you know them?
I'm very familiar with them.
I wait every year for those peaches. They're just to die for.
So what's so good about them?
The Brix level. The level of sweetness that they achieve. And I think it's 23 Brix.
Brix? What is a Brix?
B-R-I-X. It's a measurement of sweetness.
Oh.
Really? Yeah. Not Brix, like Deborah Brix, the doctor.
Not her.
Brix. Yeah.
Brix.
And they use Brix in measuring wine, the grapes, when they're looking at readiness to pick. But in peaches, the same deal. So I don't exactly know if it's like a calorie or whatever, but it's when you hit 23, you're talking the sweet, divine, sublime peach status. And the Pence peaches are among the best. They're part of Metropolitan Market's Peacherama. They use Frog Hollow and Pence.
Oh,
those are the main providers.
Oh. Wow. Frog Hollow peaches.
Yeah, man. So good.
Well, so do we have a thriving peach crop?
Do we ever? We're one of the top producers in the country. Washington State is in general. It is super high in all kinds of good stuff. I mean, it's orange food, which is what I craved when I was pregnant both times.
Anything orange?
Yeah, mangoes, sweet potatoes, and peaches, hardcore.
Interesting.
Yeah, so whatever is happening in the body, I craved it. But
I craved raw hamburger.
Ew, I'll take peaches.
I think I was a little anemic.
Obviously, you must have been, right?
I wanted cottage cheese with salsa.
Together.
Wow. Spice. That's interesting.
Yeah, I can see that. Because in the milk would temper the spicy.
The spicy.
You'd have quite a combination of textures. I don't like the idea of those two textures together. But
I didn't either, really, but it sure tasted good.
I mean,
you got to do what you got to do
funny
when you're pregnant.
Funny what it does to your body, all those hormones.
The womb wants what the womb wants, right?
Well, so.
Yeah. They come from China. There's 200 varieties. Here in Washington, there's like 25 varieties that grow, and there's probably five of those that are really prevalent. It's known as the Persian apple. The only difference between a peach and an apricot, both of which are classified as stone fruits, is there's a genetic difference. It's a tiny genetic difference. But even when you're shopping, I don't know if you've ever accidentally grabbed apricots. I have. I would say the fuzz is different, too.
The fuzz is different.
And they're smaller.
They're a little smaller.
They're not. I mean, sometimes they're big. I mean, not usually as big as a peach, but they're bigger.
Good. Yeah. When we moved to Salt Lake City, we had peach trees. And it was the first time I think I've ever seen my mom like really make something from scratch.
Mm.
We made peach pies for everybody. They were so good.
There's nothing better than a peach pie, I think. Well, today I think that. We'll see what I think tomorrow.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what about you, Miss Susan?
Peaches are way up there for me, especially when they're grilled.
I love grilled peaches.
Grilled on ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
Really,
oh,
really good. But watermelon is my top summer fruit.
Is it?
Yes.
Yum.
But finding a good watermelon.
I was going to say. So tell
really
me how. Tell me. I'm sorry.
This has been a lifelong pursuit. I'm not sure I can answer that. It's of course about thumping it. And but getting the right sound. It's got to be sort of hollowish. In order to get a crisp, ripe watermelon, but sometimes the ones with seeds are a lot better than the seedless ones.
Oh, I think so. I think so.
Have you tried any of those new varieties? I see those newfangled ones that show up in the market, like they're black seedless ones.
Yes, no, I haven't tried them.
I haven't because I don't trust them.
She has a contempt for the new nouveau watermelons.
I do. Don't trust anything new.
I have been betrayed before. So I'm kind of going with the known quantity.
I mean, go with what you know.
Yeah.
But it is intriguing, especially when you see the
ads. Have you tried them?
No, I have not. And I've done some web work for Charlie's Produce, which markets these. And they swear they're the best thing ever.
We should probably get one.
Yeah. We should do it.
I hate getting a mushy watermelon. It makes me want to throw it across the room.
Yeah.
Which could be fun, actually.
I talked to a farmer once, a cantaloupe grower guy.
Cool.
And asked him about how do I tell? Because sometimes they smell good and sometimes they sound good, but you get it home and it's not. And he said, there's really no guarantee. He said, but you do go by the smell. And if you can, look at the cantaloupe and find where part of it is kind of green on the bottom and kind of ugly. He said what that means is that the cantaloupe has sat on the ground and been ripened on the ground. That's a good thing. And he said the same thing with watermelons. Look for some like a blemish. It's a blemish. Look for where it was lying on the ground, and that means it was ripened in the sun as opposed from on the truck.
It's a good tip.
That's a great tip. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too.
I might even try that with a black watermelon.
No, we
a
could,
black
I guess.
Seedless one.
Have you seen how they advertise those things at Thriftway sometimes? They say, well, the mini ones, personal watermelon.
I know.
Oh, yeah, personal. That's sort of like...
That's a subject for another
intimate
day.
Intimate watermelon. Yes. Sort of like the pint of ice cream. Yeah. Personal pint.
Personal pint.
Single, yeah. Single serving.
Excuse me. What are they trying to tell us? I don't get it. Is this a replacement for something? Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Better than...
Well, I've been falling in love with cherries.
Yes.
For a thousand years. Mm. It's just my favorite. You know, it's earlier in the season than now, of course, but it's still my favorite. And I, Bing cherries especially, I love them so much. And I did some research, you know, years ago in the 90s, I worked for Oregon Tourism and I did a lot of their writing. So I did a lot of research on agriculture.
Yes.
And I found out some really interesting stories about cherries.
Cool.
And one I want to tell you is, it has nothing to do with Oregon.
Oh.
It has to do with Al Capone. So Al Capone, you know, had syphilis when he was released from prison.
And he popped too many cherries.
Yeah.
Joking.
Ah!
No, sorry, that was bad. Because you know what? If he had, they would have been virgins. They wouldn't have that.
Yeah, they wouldn't
That would have been on him.
Syphilis.
Yeah. That's right. Well,
he'd be giving it, not to getting
spread it around. Yeah.
Sorry, that was bad.
We love you, Heidi. Anyway,
okay.
he got out of prison, and he was looking for syphilis treatment, and
yeah.
Johns Hopkins would not accept him.
Because he was a pariah.
Well, he was a bad guy, you know. Mm-hmm. So a hospital in Chicago, I think, Union Memorial Hospital, accepted him. And he in that hospital, he lived in a suite of two or three rooms.
Yeah, with Chicago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and he had lots of friends come and visit him, and it was sort of an upper echelon kind of hospital stay. Anyway, he looked out over the bare lawn, and at one day when he left, he wanted to send them a gift and decided to plant two cherry trees.
Wait, he survived syphilis?
Well, for a while.
Okay, he just lived with it.
He lived with it, and then he died of it.
Yeah.
You know, later.
Okay,
but,
thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, he donated this cherry tree to the hospital, and it's still there today, which I thought was really interesting. One of them's gone for various reasons, whatever, but that's one cherry story. And the other cherry story I have is a Bing cherries. And do you know how they were named Bing?
How were they named Bing?
Okay, so in the 1800s, like 1850, 1860, there was a man named Mr. Llewellyn who came out from Missouri, I think. And he came on his covered wagon with seven children and a pregnant wife and 700 trees.
Wow.
Whoa.
So they must have had two wagons. I don't know. But anyway, he came to Portland, in a little area in Portland, and then went south to a little town called Milwaukee, which is in that very verdant agricultural valley, and planted his trees, and they grew, and the cherries grew, and the cherries grew. And he hired a Chinese man, an immigrant from China, whose name was Mr. Bing.
Oh,
and Mr. Bing, his name was Ah Bing, A-H Bing. And Mr. Bing loved his job in the orchard, and he was grafting and propagating and doing different things. And one day he came up to Mr. Llewellyn, and he said, I made a new cherry. And he had Mr. Llewellyn taste the cherry, and he, you know, Mr. Llewellyn loved that cherry. And he said, I think we'll name this Bing.
So cool.
Oh, and what a great story.
Yeah. And so then, you know, not everything has a happy ending, but what was it? In the 1800s, there was the Great Chinese Exclusion Act.
Yes, right.
And he left Portland because he didn't feel safe. It was terrible. It was a Ku Klux Klan kind of thing.
It was terrible
in Oregon. And he left and went back to China.
Wow.
And no one ever really heard from him after that. So we don't know what happened to Mr. Bing, but
and
we
Mr.
do thank
Llewellyn
him.
And made all the money from the Bing
cherries. Yes, I know.
But it did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and Mr. Bing's brother and son and all of, I mean, not Mr. Bing, Mr. Llewellyn, they still stayed in the business, but they were kind of ne'er-do-well, and that's another story for another time. But
the bad Llewellyns.
The bad Llewellyns.
Wow.
I thought, also, I did a little research just before we came in the studio about what's going on with the cherry crop this year. And it's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah.
You know, we had that
short,
terrible snowstorm in April, was it? Did we have snow in April?
We had all kinds
really
of weird
cold,
weather.
Bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
And that ruined, that April is like prime time for cherries to be the blossoms, and you know, they
and
start
the pollen
then.
Gets
the
rest pollen. From all that precipitation. Yeah.
So, you know, the Northwest orchards, and that includes Idaho, Montana, Oregon, Washington, maybe Utah. I think maybe Utah grows some cherries too.
For Northwest Cherries, that consortium, I think you already called out all the states.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And they, last year, well, this year, they some people lost 98% of their crops. Not everybody, but they packed up this year 15 million, this is of this consortium, 15 million 20-pound boxes of cherries to send out, which was a reduction of 25% from last year.
That's pretty significant.
Which is really significant. And so, you know, climate change is a really important issue right now. And if it affects my cherries, well, we must talk about it.
Okay, then.
But I feel like we all just need to know more about. We have this wonderful bounty and the beautiful produce, and it's going away. It's becoming scarcer and scarcer.
Water.
Water.
Food.
Water. Money. All of it.
Energy.
Energy.
Every angle of it. Mm-hmm. It's diminishing. It's crazy.
Every part of your life is going to be affected and is currently being affected by the climate crisis. Water is drying up worldwide. Yeah. The Yangtze River, the Rhine River, the Colorado River, the Mississippi River.
Even France was burning this year.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
France and Spain and Greece.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right. So, Susan, you are, you do some work in environmental activism and climate change. And
I do some.
You do. Is there anything that you'd like us to know about that currently, or anything you want to talk about in that realm?
Yeah, well, something you brought up to me was folks observing the waste of wine bottles and how it's becoming an environmental issue because the glass recycling industry is not keeping up with, I'm sure it's beyond wine bottles, but the wine industry was particularly interested in thinking about what maybe they could do. And it really comes down to the circular economy. They were experimenting with trying to get people to bring their wine bottles back so they could be reused. Mm-hmm. Nobody bothered to bring them back. And they learned in that process that a lot of glass that is supposedly recycled isn't recycled for its previous use. It goes into road construction, things like that. So the circular economy is really about turning waste into resources. So rather than throwing things away, look at how they can be reused or truly recycled. And that takes some effort and some energy. And it, you know, folks, we're going to have to make what we will be consider sacrifices. Stop buying new clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a story about that. Can I tell you that
story?
I was at the doctor the other day, and I was standing in line waiting to check in, you know, and there was a lovely woman standing behind me. I had a pretty new scarf on, and she complimented me on it, told me how much she liked it. And I said, oh, thank you very much. I said, I got it at a thrift store for $3. And her face just fell.
Oh, no.
And she said, oh, well, that's okay.
Oh, that's okay, Linda.
And I just thought, oh, she's not from Vashon.
I know. That's you so true. Know.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Susan. I had
to. No, that's beautiful. There are deserts in the world that are being covered with fabric trash, basically, because we don't know what to do because people have to have new clothes. And they're synthetic.
Well,
which
you
means
know, a lot of times,
from petroleum products.
When you send stuff back, they don't sell it. It goes in the landfill a lot of times.
Wow. That's so disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah. You know, there are too many people on the planet. And those of us who are here now really need to cut back. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really need to think about the impact that you're having every day. Keep it in mind. Keep it as you walk through your day. Don't run the water when you're brushing your teeth. Don't run the car to warm it up, you know.
Don't sit in the ferry line with your air conditioning on.
Oh, definitely
right.
Not. Yeah, no idling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bristle at a lot of things. I want to take a second really quick just to go give a shout out to our underwriters, and I'll be right back.
Thanks, Heidi.
This portion of EOV programming is brought to you by Puget Sound Energy. If you're looking to save money on your energy bills, PSE offers rebates on a variety of products and equipment to help you upgrade the comfort and efficiency of your home. Visit pse.com/rebates to learn more.
Can't do what we do on Voice of Vashon without our underwriters, like Snapdragon Bakery and Cafe. Pastries and vegetarian lunches by day and tasty sips and special events at night. Located on Vashon Highway on the south end of town. And don't miss the Wild Mermaid Cafe and store located at the North End Ferry. Visit VashonSnapdragon.com for up-to-date hours of operation.
And we're back.
And we're back. Hello, hello. So, Heidi has a story to tell us about... You just tell us a story.
Barbiecore. Barbiecore. The timing is immaculate. Mm. Really. Linda.
Heidi.
If only I could tell you everything.
I know.
So, Nicki Minaj, our pop diva of the world, she's kind of one of the drivers behind Barbiecore. Barbiecore is letting go, being crazy, and wearing hot pink. Hot pink on your vehicles. Hot pink in your clothing. Hot pink hair. Hot pink shoes. Hot pink cosmetics. Hot pink accessories. Everybody is Barbiecoring out. So if you looked on Instagram under hashtag Barbiecore, spelled like the doll, C-O-R-E, or if you looked on Twitter, Barbiecore, you will see a wash of hot pink. And it is a beautiful sight. It is irreverent. It is bright. It is
How is color irreverent?
Just the richness and saturation of this color. It is just screams at you. It's not fluorescent. It's not magenta. It's just this perfect shade of hot pink, like all the Barbie stuff. So, are you looking, Susan? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I wish you guys could see, but just imagine hot pink everywhere, and you will see it on the red carpet. You will see it on beaches right now. You will see people wearing in their athletic footwear and their athleisure, lots of hot pink. And this is part of the Barbiecore movement. Even weddings, entire weddings are being held, and women are wearing hot pink bridal gear.
The Barbiecore movement?
It is a movement.
It's a movement. So is it a movement for pink?
It's,
is that the movement?
Yeah. It's just a hot color.
Yeah, I found it on Instagram.
There you
go.
It's
all women in all kinds of hot pink clothing, essentially.
I've never heard of Barbiecore.
Yeah. Earrings, tank tops, you're something in white. How'd that happen?
I think somebody just picked up on the fact that it looks like a lot of the Mattel Barbie products. Like, you know, remember Barbie Dreamhouse?
It was all pink.
And so someone labeled it Barbiecore and it kind of stuck. But people are just going through this trend right now.
Well, this makes total sense to me now because I subscribe to Vanity Fair because I just love the writing in there. And I got the latest issue, and there's a man on the front whom I don't know.
Okay.
He's quite gorgeous, and he's very tall, and he's dressed in a hot pink suit. It is so hot pink.
It really sounds like Harry Styles.
I looked at it and thought, why? Now I know. He's in the Barbiecore movement.
I got to see. Who's on the cover of Vanity Fair?
It's probably somebody you know. I'm not too up in my pop culture, you know. He's somebody famous.
I'm going to find out.
I'm working on it.
In the meantime, I want to tell you guys something.
Okay.
About women and what they do. Speaking of starting movements and knowing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Ooh. We're going to go back to Genghis Khan.
Oh yeah.
super fascinating.
I know this is a sort of an awkward segue, but you know, Genghis Khan was busy. He was a busy, busy man. And who do you think took care of everything while he was gone?
Probably the women.
The women. His wife. Now, he had several wives, but his preferred wife, they call her preferred wife, was a woman named Brote. B-R-O-T-E, with a funny little thing above it. It sounds Scandinavian to me, but...
It does.
That was her name.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, when he left, she managed everything. She managed all the men. She managed all the... livestock, all the when it was time to go camp, move their camp from point A to point B, she's the one who organized the procession of horses and what order the men went in. She's the one who commanded the agricultural workers and the pickers and all the people. There was the cooking and the kids and the government. She governed while he was out being a warrior. And
slashing and burning.
That's all he had to do.
That's all he had to do was slash and burn. And she had to change diapers
blow
and do all
stuff up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
But she, women continued to rule the empire for years and years and years after that. And Marco Polo wrote about Genghis Khan's great, great granddaughter. And what he said about her was Genghis Khan's great-great-granddaughter, who was known for her warrior skills, could swoop down on the enemy as deftly as a hawk. So she was a fighter, too. This is the great-great-granddaughter.
So right.
And
right.
There were also some women warriors in his troop.
Yeah.
So I don't know if those were the lower level of wives. I don't know. But anyway, you know, I just thought it was so interesting because
that
we talk so much about things that women are doing that we don't really notice or aren't aware of. Mm-hmm. I never in my wildest dreams ever gave a second thought to what was Genghis Khan's wife doing, or did he even have a wife?
Yeah.
And here to find out, she's ruling the Mongol Empire.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge deal. That was a big empire and they were hardcore, man.
she oversaw daily herding stuff and told them where to herd and what to. I mean, she did everything.
Doesn't it make you wonder if she was? What would have happened if she wasn't there? History would have been completely
history
different.
History would have been completely different. That's
and
right.
Didn't after Genghis went away, the succession that occurred was really women were.
It was women
it
ruling
for generations.
Yes.
So there's go girls.
There's a book. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's pretty heavy, but it's by a Central Asia scholar named Anne Broadbridge, and she wrote a book called Women and the Making of the Mongol Empire.
Boom.
And so it's all in there.
Wow.
And what they did.
That's cool.
So, sisters.
Love it.
We come from good stock.
I do. I love
us.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff.
I know. I thought it was really interesting. Another tidbit I wanted to talk about is tipping.
Okay.
Tidbit. How do you guys feel about tipping? You know, there's a sort of movement now to consolidate the tips to either charge you up ahead of time, a 20% surcharge, or no tipping.
Right. And have it all and be absorbed into menu prices.
Yeah. Basically. And, part of it is the people at the, I worked in the back of the house for a while and I know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And those people in the back of the house now don't have to have two jobs at the restaurants that are sharing tips. Uh-huh. But the front of the house is not happy, you know, because they're not, the client, the customer is not tipping anymore.
Not usually.
Mm-mm.
No. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're not going to get anything beyond a 20% tip or whatever their portion of that is.
And right. Then, yeah. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about tipping and not tipping?
I think that the restaurant is honestly benefiting in this new scenario, more than the employee. I do agree that the back of the house is finally getting some sort of wage compensation that they didn't otherwise see.
Mm-hmm.
Chow Foods, the restaurant chain here in the Seattle area, has also done that. And the back of the house, everyone seems pretty cool about it. And it was the front of the house very diplomatically voted to have that take place. So it's working for Chow Foods, which is like Endeline Joe's and some of those restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But Bramble House did it. And
yes,
how's
I remember
it going
that.
For
I
her?
Do remember that.
Well, she's close. Right now, she's not operating. She's just working on she's retooling her business.
Yeah, but she did some chicken dinners last week or something.
That good.
Wings and chicken and something.
I want to get in on that.
I do too.
Sign me up. I love her cooking. But there was a lot of turnover. That's the only thing I can really say under that operation when she was including tips. And it was a case where it was absorbed into the menu. It was just like tips included.
Well, don't you wonder though, there were so many other factors that could have caused the turnover.
Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, in that industry.
You just don't know.
Particularly here on Vashon.
I think we should go back to the old fashioned way. Like, I want to see what my food costs and I want to tip on merit. And that's how I feel.
I am of two minds on this, and one is I appreciate that they add the 20%, and I'm happy to pay it.
Sure.
And if my server is particularly good, I will add to that. They're not saying I can't leave a tip.
Absolutely.
For the most part.
Yeah.
If my server has earned something beyond 20%, then I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, me too.
But I believe in tipping and always have.
I think people don't realize how much work it is.
Yeah.
To wait on a table or to chop onions in the back of the house for 8 hours. It's a lot of work. And we go to restaurants sort of relaxed and having a great time.
Sitting down.
It's just so wonderful. And
I'm
a heavy tipper. I just really believe in it.
Well, and I think anybody who's ever worked in a restaurant probably is as well.
That's probably true. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's a big deal. In Austria, I noticed it's you just round up to even out the change to make it an even dollar amount. And in Germany, 10% or so is what is the standard. And nothing's changed there. It's not like inclusive or anything. It's still the same old systems.
Now that we're in our tidbit section.
Yes.
Yes.
Another tidbit I have. Mm. Do you know the shaka hand signal in Hawaii? Does everybody know what I'm talking about?
I'm a UH grad. I do.
Yeah. describe it for me, Heidi.
Pinky out, thumb out, other three fingers tucked in.
And wave, right?
Wiggle. Shake it a little bit. Shake it, wave it. And I usually do a double shaka. And I, that's my way of punctuating a conversation or saying goodbye or, okay, double shaka. I made that happen with my shaka power.
That's right.
But its origins in Hawaii are dubious and thought to have originated from the plantation days.
It did. It did. That's what they're saying, according to the newspaper in a University of Lisbon, that it started as a signal between the slaves in Hawaii, the workers. And then also there's a legend that it came from Japan, and it means the number six. But that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what that means.
I don't buy it. But there's a gesture suggested, like with the Portuguese and Spanish, that it was like they wanted to get a drink in the hot sun. Mm-hmm. So they would do this.
Oh, interesting.
So that's a theory. But they really never quite drilled down the exact ethnic group or, you know, ancestry that brought it over, the immigrant group. Because Hawaii was such a melting pot. You had every Asian and then you had Portuguese. And, you know, take a stab. You don't know. But it became the universal gesture of the islands.
Of the islands. Huh. And it's really fun to do.
So what does it mean now?
Hello, goodbye.
Hello, goodbye.
Everything's
anything.
Cool.
Yeah. Or I agree with you. Or isn't that great? Any kind of emphatic.
It's like, hey.
Or like we might do a thumbs up. It's kind of like that.
It's like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Shaka brada.
You know, it's just so interesting, all the things that we just sort of know, but we don't know anything underneath it.
Yeah, right.
And I was fascinated by the fact that I just thought it started with surfers. That's all I knew, because that's where I first became acquainted with shaka.
Yeah. I still can't stop shaka-ing. It's a compulsion. I shaka every day of my life.
Well, I don't think it's I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. It's not considered a bad thing now.
I know.
I don't know. I don't
years
know.
Old and I still shaka like I was still a college student in Hawaii.
Yeah, but
can't stop shocking.
It's a gesture, Heidi. It's a gesture.
All right. There are so many other gestures you could be choosing
That's
from.
True.
That's
true.
There's worse, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
So, well, we're getting there again.
Life
we're
is
down
good.
To 2 minutes.
Yeah, we are.
So can women still get an abortion since I've been gone in Europe
so
long?
God.
I cried when I was in Greece and heard about the Roe thing.
Oh, you were there.
Susan has a story that she heard on
NPR
today.
I'll try to be
today.
Quick. Yeah, this was
cool.
This was terrifying. I
hate
was listening
it.
to I was listening to NPR, and it was the anyway, I can't remember exactly which show it was. It's one we all listened to.
Mm-hmm. But the Daily.
The Daily, thank you.
Cool.
And they had interviewed, a woman reporter had interviewed some folks in Arizona in a highly Christian church. And they call themselves abortionists.
Okay.
And their idea is that women should be punished for getting abortions. And they should be punished for murder according to the laws of their state, even if it includes the death penalty.
Holy mackerel.
I can't even, that's draconian. I can't even imagine that.
How do you get your head around that one?
Yes, we're so pro-life. Let's kill all the women.
Let's kill all the women.
Right. Yeah.
We're pro-birth. They're pro-birth. I have stopped saying pro-life.
That's a good idea.
They're
I like
pro-birth.
That. Yeah.
No, they're pro-sperm. Like every sperm is sacred.
Yeah, that's really true. I this is a whole upsetting topic that I would like to talk about at sometime in
the
future.
We'll deep dive into it.
Because there's a lot to it. And I think, you know, we all know people who've had abortions. And I think maybe next time we'll talk about that.
Okay, let's plan on that.
And I think we're running out of time right now. Thank you so much for listening to our first show back. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
We'll be back. We'll be back.
Oh, that was fun. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Mm, yeah, this is really good.
I'm digging it.
So what'd you put in this?
Like snow going back home, driving those old roads again.